In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this Sunday in the Gospels, we see the healing of a paralytic. And at the same time, our Lord's showing that he has the power of God, the power to forgive sins. We know that Holy Mother Church, based on the example of our Lord who gave this power to the apostles, Holy Mother Church has the power of forgiving sins. Christ forgives sins through her ministers, bishops and priests, and the sacrament of confession. And today, on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, I want to go over a bit of Catholic 101 with you regarding the sacrament of penance. Most importantly, the general theme is that I want to impress upon your minds that the proper form, that is, the prescribed ritual of receiving the sacrament of confession, will be of the utmost benefit to your souls. Now, sometimes priests, myself included, assume that the vast majority of penitents know the rules. By the way, the term penitent just means a Catholic who is in the act of going to confession. It's important to know the terminology. So sometimes priests assume that you know all this. I have learned that that is a mistake. In this age of near universal failure on the part of priests, on the part of bishops and priests to hand on the faith over roughly the last 60 years, I've realized no assumptions should be made whatsoever. The faithful, all of you, can't be expected to know what you've never been taught or what you've never been told that you need to learn for yourselves. So here's an attempt. If it is time for you to go to confession, make sure that you have a formula or a little list for making your examination of conscience, a brief examination of conscience of several minutes or so, at least, but usually just about several minutes. And if you don't know where to obtain one, ask a priest whom you trust or one of your fellow Catholics who you know will lead you rightly, uprightly in the ways of the faith. At this particular chapel, as you probably noticed, there are no red or green lights on the confessional, on the old confessionals here, to indicate that the penitent can enter the confessional and begin making their confession. Therefore, here in this chapel, when the confessional is open and available for penitents to come in to make their confessions, the door of the priest in the middle of the confessional is kept open so that you can see that the priest is sitting there and he's ready to hear your confession. Confessional is strictly for hearing confessions. So if you see a priest sitting in the confessional with the door open, that means he's there to hear confessions. And therefore, you don't have to wait or hesitate or have any doubt. You just go right in. And then as soon as you do, the priest will shut his door, of course, obviously, to guard the seal of confession, to make sure that insofar as possible, what is being said in the confessional is not going to be audible to those outside the confessional. During confessions, when there is a line of penitents coming in one after another, the priest's door will be kept closed. So there's no need to wait or hesitate or doubt. Just go in. The penitent, this is also very important, the penitent is the first person to speak in the sacrament of confession, not the priest. And there's no pleasantries in general. There's no hi, hello, how are you doing? Did you see the 49ers game? It's just you begin with the words, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." Those are the words that you say. And then you say the length of time that it has been since your last confession, as much as you remember it. The priest then gives you a blessing in Latin. So there's no need to repeat the words again, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned," after you hear that blessing in Latin. After you get the blessing, the penitent simply confesses their sins. And at the end of the confession, when the priest assigns the penance, such as a Decade of the Rosary, for example, that penance is not said in the confessional. The penance is said after leaving the confessional, hopefully immediately. And if not, it should at least be said within the same day. After the penance has been assigned, it's time for the penitent to recite the act of contrition. Now, it really is necessary to have this prayer, the act of contrition, memorized. I cannot emphasize this enough. None of us have an excuse for not knowing by heart the act of contrition. I don't want to give anyone scruples here. I'm not talking about perhaps certain individuals like the very elderly, where there may be issues of memory, or very young children who are still struggling to learn the act of contrition. I am talking about reasonably aged and healthy Catholics, adult Catholics, who have the capacity to memorize, the act to learn and then to memorize, the act of contrition. In this age of near universal access to the internet and the relative ease of purchasing a hand missal such as the Father Lassant Missal, which has the act of contrition and many other prayers, we can all easily learn and memorize this prayer. And if memorizing the act of contrition means that you're going to have to print out this prayer and practice it for 5 minutes a day until you know it by heart, so be it. Perhaps there's a very easy way to fit this into your day, however. At night, before going to bed, when saying your nighttime prayers, incorporate this short prayer into them. You will have the act of contrition memorized very quickly that way. And there is more than one version of this prayer, but the most common one is that which begins with the words, "O my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee." Memorizing the act of contrition is part of your Catholic card. It's part of your Catholic driver's license, if you will. It is the proof positive that you've learned the basics of the Catholic religion, the rules of the road, and that you know how to handle yourself correctly in the most basic situations of Catholic day-to-day life. It's a matter of knowing things that have been like second nature to our Catholic ancestors for centuries. It's also a matter of handing on our Catholic patrimony to our children. Who are we, really, if we claim to be Catholic but do not know the most basic, most fundamental prayers and teachings of our religion? Now, it is not that we should doubt the validity of someone's confession if they confess with true sorrow for their sins but can't remember all the words of the act of contrition. Let no one take away scruples from this sermon. But memorizing this prayer helps to confirm that the necessary dispositions for a good confession really are present in our souls: hatred of and sorrow for sin, the intention to amend one's life, and the purpose to go to confession again should one have the misfortune to fall into further sins. Keeping these dispositions strong in our souls is a bit like maintaining a car. To maintain a car, the maintenance has to be done regularly. The oil has to be changed routinely if the car is going to keep running. These dispositions of soul, in fact, can become a bit stale over time, over long periods of time, if they're not renewed. So it's good to prevent that by regularly reaffirming our commitment to all that God expects of us. And memorizing this prayer is, furthermore, an act of respect for Almighty God. If we would prepare and memorize a polished and well-worded speech to welcome a visiting dignitary or king, how much more do we owe it to God to clearly and articulately express our intention to do all that is required to leave behind our sins and serve him faithfully in the future? Remember that the sacrament of confession is just that, a sacrament, and therefore there is for it a prescribed ritual. It's not supposed to be improvised. What would you all think if one day to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass, I went to the altar, ignored the prayers and prescribed movements of the altar ritual, and just spoke from the heart? I think you'd be shocked. There is a further and more practical reason for memorizing this prayer. As you've probably noticed, it's dark in the confessionals here. I hope to address this problem in the near future, but I cannot guarantee that there will be an immediate solution since I'm not in charge here at St. Vincent's. But if you have this prayer memorized, no physical darkness will be an obstacle to your making a smooth and rubrically correct confession. And if we ever find ourselves in a catacombs-like situation, like the first Christians, you'll be ready for that. There is a final and even more important reason for memorizing the act of contrition. We all need to say this prayer often throughout our lives, on a daily or at least weekly basis, even when not making a sacramental confession, because we are all sinners in need of solid acts of repentance. And when we are prevented from going to confession, making a sincere and complete act of contrition in a private prayer to God will be of the utmost benefit to our souls. For those who are unable to go to confession, you know that making an act of perfect contrition actually obtains forgiveness of mortal sins. And of course, one of the criteria for such an act is that it includes the intention to go to confession if and when the opportunity to do so becomes available. So trusting in the merciful goodness of our Lord, therefore, let us do our part generously and with a good heart. How pleased will God be with us in seeing that we have learned how to tell him that we truly love him and detest our sins, and that we don't ever want to offend him again, and that should we have the misfortune to do so, we will quickly seek out his mercy in the sacrament as often as we have need of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.